You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. Brittany, looked for a while like this might be a coronation run here and a kind of a fun, happy, everything sunny run down the stretch, but I guess that's really not the way the Orioles do things. It's never entirely easy. With the suspension of Chris Davis, I think the first thing, and I know he hasn't talked much, he may not be able to shed much light on this just yet, but what's your understanding of just kind of the sequence of events that leads to a guy who did have an exemption getting suspended?
Yeah, I wish I could give you a timeline of events. We really don't have one. Not a whole lot of information about when his first test was, when the exemption was, any of that really has come out at all. There's been a lot of speculation, a lot of conflicting reports, but no one knows for sure. And I think until Chris Davis comes out and tells his side of the story at length instead of issuing a statement, we're really not going to know what led to this.
What, for the time being, what's his plan? I know we know a little of this. What's his plan to stay sharp and to try and make sure that he is ready if there is an opportunity to play for the Orioles again in 2014?
Well, he talked to manager Buck Showalter yesterday, and the plan is for him to head down probably at some point this week to the team's spring facility in Sarasota, Florida. They have instructional leave going on there. He is allowed to play in those games. They had to check on his availability, but Major League Baseball will allow that. So he's been working out. He'll stay ready. Now, the real question to me is, because his suspension is postseason applicable, you're looking at if the Orioles' first round goes smoothly and say they don't go to five games, it really changes whether or not you want to play a man down and have Chris Davis there. I mean, if you play three games as opposed to five, obviously Chris Davis has to sit out those eight games in the postseason. So could he be a factor in that second round? Is going to be a big decision that if they get there, manager Buck Showalter is going to have to make, because it's my understanding they'd have to play with 24 until Davis is activated. And keep in mind, he didn't have a great offensive season when this was going on. So people have talked about this loss like it's a big deal, when in effect, his WAR right now is, which is wins above replacement, is right in between Caleb Joseph, rookie catcher, and Jonathan Scope, their rookie second baseman. So he hasn't really been that guy for them all year. This is certainly a blow because he can't be around the team as well. He was a big presence in there, but it's not quite the panic that I think people maybe associate with it from the outside.
And you kind of hit on this. This may be getting ahead of ourselves, but do you think there's any question at all, if they got to a point, say if they were got to the World Series or if it were only three games in the LCS, is there any way that they decide that things are working better without him, even if the math adds up?
Of course. I think there's definitely that way. You look at kind of the way they've done things all year, the way guys have stepped up all year. Steve Pearce is a great example. Kelly Johnson last night with a walk-off double wouldn't be playing if Chris Davis was here right now. So I think that they're going to evaluate that based on how the team is playing and where they are in terms of games played when they get to that second round. And then they'll kind of go from there. There's certainly nothing guaranteed to Chris Davis at this point in time.
It is an interesting situation in a lot of ways, because you mentioned his clubhouse presence, and it's certainly my understanding he's a really well-regarded guy in there. And it's also my understanding that that's a club that in particular really – they feel like a big part of what they do is that sort of that vibe in the room. Do you think his standing in that room changes any? Do you think they make a decision based on needing him, the person on the roster? How do they kind of add all that up? Again, with the acknowledgement that we are kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse, because they're not in the NLCS yet. But how does his place sort of in the clubhouse vibe change, or does it as a result of this?
I think it does a little bit. I think guys use the word shocked a lot to describe what was going on. And I think when you look at what happened and the fact that it was self-inflicted, it's different than an injury. It's not something that was unavoidable by any means. So I think it does change his standing a little bit in that clubhouse. Guys were obviously a little bit more upset than they wanted to publicly let on. But I think there was a big sigh of relief because of what the test was for. It wasn't for any kind of PED. He wasn't trying to bulk up to hit some more home runs. And I think that anyone who kind of sees this as a reason to negate last season, well, he was tested a lot last season. We know he didn't have that exemption last year. So clearly, Chris Davis really didn't use anything last year that gave him any kind of advantage that we know of that is tested right now. But I think when you talk about Chris Davis, he's a guy who was so adamant last year during his historic campaign about the fact that MLB's drug policy has kind of clouded some of the records. He was very open, very outspoken about it. And I think if you're going to do that, you have to make sure, regardless of what the infraction is, that you are within the letter of the law, that you are abiding by that drug policy, if you're going to attach your name to such strong words as he did last year. And I think that's part of what really got to some of his teammates in there. And I'm not saying that anyone is going to not welcome him back with open arms, because I think they will. But I think this certainly kind of lessened maybe the opinion of some of the younger players, maybe lessened his role a little bit as a role model for some of those guys going forward.
What do they do? It seems like Kelly Johnson is a guy whose role will increase the most. Does he sort of become essentially a full-time guy?
Yes, he does, in my opinion. He's played pretty much every day over the – I know it's been a really short sample class since this happened, but he's been their guy. I expect him to be their guy. It's funny because him and Alejandro Daza, two guys who weren't on this team a month ago, are now two guys who you would expect to be on that postseason roster. So those are typical Dan Duquette type of trades. They're under the radar. Nobody really bats an eyelash. It barely registered a blip in the baseball world. It was small even here in Baltimore, and they were the team – that was obviously getting those two players. So, you know, when you look at what they've been able to do, this is just two more small pieces that fit in that larger puzzle for Showalter to manipulate around and use to his advantage. And both of those guys have fit in real well there. They've given him a lift. And Kelly Johnson said yesterday that, you know, this feels like a club that's kind of just on a track for destiny. He said, you know, they were down that one run last night in the ninth inning, and they always felt like they had a chance to win. He said he hasn't been a part of something like this in his career, and he feels like this is a team that finds ways to win instead of finds ways to lose. And I think there's something to be said for that and for the culture that was created. When you bring in these smaller, marginal players and you give them an opportunity, I think it only fosters that. These guys are playing for their postseason roster spot. They're playing to prove everybody wrong. The Orioles, even though they have an 11.5-game lead, still very much have a chip on their shoulders. They know they're not the team that's going to get all the national attention. And Buck does a very good job of feeding into that and making sure that they keep that mentality that their backs are up against the wall.
Yeah, and you kind of lead into my next question. I want to be very careful how I phrase this, because obviously anybody in the clubhouse, in the coaching staff, in the front office would rather have Davis. They'd rather have Machado. They'd rather have Wieters. But do you get the impression that – on some level, Buck Showalter kind of enjoys the challenge, enjoys the chip on the shoulder? It just reminds me, you know, I covered a guy who reveled in that stuff. Tony La Russa was at his best when there were moving parts, when he had to manage, and when there was kind of a purpose. Do you get that impression that even if he didn't like how they got there, that Buck Showalter really kind of enjoys the way this team shakes down right now?
Absolutely. I think I get what you're saying. Yes, he'd rather have those guys, and he'd feel better about penciling those names into the lineup. But Buck has always loved the Steve Pierces of the world, the guys who just go out there and battle and will be fighting for their roster spots probably their entire career. Those have always been Buck guys, not necessarily the superstars. And he's done a good job since he got here of kind of weeding out the players who weren't part of a team atmosphere, who were self-centered, were more concerned with their arbitration numbers than they were with the team's win-loss records. So this is a team that I think Buck enjoys being a part of, enjoys managing. And this is a team that really doesn't have any ego at all. When you look at some of their bigger players, J.J. Hardy, Nick Markakis, Adam Jones, they really just set an example every day, wanting to be in that lineup. They're guys who really influence the way that clubhouse is structured.
I'll kind of go big picture here a minute. For you've been in Baltimore for several years now, and for people of a certain age, that's one of those places we really think of as a great baseball city and a place with a great history and where the organization means something. And so I know the players just want to clinch and get in wherever they can. But for the city, for the organization, to clinch a division title at home, as it looks like there's every reason to think they'll do, how big a deal is that around the city and around the organization?
It's huge. I think people forget that in 2012 they didn't get to celebrate. They were on a plane when they found out that they had won. They kind of backed in a little bit. They won because of a loss, the Angels-Rangers game. And that plane actually had a mini fire, had to emergency land to Jacksonville. So there wasn't a whole lot of celebrating there for them at all. They didn't get to celebrate at home. They did win that wild card game and got to celebrate in Arlington. But these fans at Camden Yards have never seen a division clinch at home. The last time the Orioles won a division with a win here in Baltimore was 1969. So it goes without saying that none of the current Orioles players were alive. It's been a huge drought for the city. And you're right, man, they have every chance to do it. They could do it as soon as tomorrow night and really set themselves up well for the playoffs. So this whole city is invigorated. The games over the weekend felt like postseason games here. Baltimore feels like they're on the map. It's really their year with the American League East. And it's exciting to see, as you mentioned, one of baseball's best cities, best fan base around, really come to life the last couple of years.
Ooh, well, all right. Well, Brittany Giroli, thanks for taking a few minutes here to chat on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.